This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music, great artist BT Dubs, but wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this.
Rich Eisen is here.
The mojo's back.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
From half court, pulls up for a three. It's good. Funny heel.
Kick to the corner. Turner beat the clock and hit a three.
Picked off by Westbrook. Got two hands.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, ESPN NBA reporter, Dave McMenamin. Coming up, author and comedian Carol Leifer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and I have no idea why I just began this hour that way. And sure
Sing
enough,
it out, man.
Somebody is literally standing in that spot right now behind me.
It's Leroy.
No, they're gone.
Was that who that was?
Yeah, that was Leroy.
Is he hearing me and he just did that on purpose?
Well, he kept strolling. I don't think he
stopped and he waved.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I laugh every time someone.
I'm so glad, Mike.
I mean, it's because I'm looking right at it.
I know when I say something that makes. When I complain about something, then it becomes fodder for you to make fun of it. That's what friends do to each other. That's what friends do. You know, that's what friends are for, not keep to start singing. No, don't sing.
No.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Greg Popovich needing the help of Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan to get to the stage. Spoke for the first time since suffering a stroke and making the announcement that he was no longer returning as coach of the San Antonio Spurs. And this is after he was helped to the stage, what Greg Popovich had to say.
And I'll do everything I can to help him and help them. But I'll have a new job. And I want to make sure everybody understands what the new job is.
He's unzipping a jacket. This is El Jefe on the shirt.
Coach. I'm El Jefe.
Senior Popovich.
Senior Popovich.
On the back. President of Basketball Ops.
El Jefe.
Lord, man.
That's funny.
Yeah. And he was talking about Mitch Johnson, who was then introduced as the new head coach. The interim who was serving after Popovich suffered that stroke on November 1st and then had a setback and clearly well enough to appear publicly. But you could see he definitely was no longer in condition to be a head coach in the NBA. And what a damn shame that is after 29 years, an incredible run, obviously, but for it to end due to health reasons. Oh, God. It's just some things happen in the world that make you scratch your head saying, karma's in the bank and it shouldn't happen to somebody, but 300 head coaching changes in the NBA since Greg Popovich became the Spurs head coach.
Really?
Ooh. 300 of them.
Talk about a record that'll never be broken. What, 18 straight 50-win seasons?
22 consecutive playoff appearances. How about 1,422 regular season wins? How about that?
Feels like that's going to last for a long time.
Well, I mean, in the number of coaches that have been fired to have won championships in the last 6 years over the last month.
Right.
So Good luck on having who I think Steve Kerr is currently the longest tenured head coach in the NBA right now.
That seems about
Warriors.
Right.
I yeah. think he is.
That
now.
Seems about right.
On the coaching tree of Greg Popovich.
And he's probably at what, 10 or 11 years, I'm guessing?
Same with M.A. Udoka, right? He's on the coaching tree.
For Pop, yeah.
Budenholzer's
sure.
on the coaching tree there. Yep. Becky Hammon's on the coaching tree there. So just seeing that was a bit jarring. And we just send, obviously, him our best to El Jefe, the new president of basketball operations of the San Antonio Spurs. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
Spoelstra would be the longest.
Is Spoelstra, he's got the most coaching tenure?
Since 08, and then Kerr came in 14.
Okay, there you go. So Spoelstra
a long time for Spoelstra.
Now, and there's a lot of people sitting there saying that he should be the next guy to just elevate himself to the front office and let someone else coach, like the Brad Stevens of Miami. Mm. But, you know, that would have to be Pat Riley's desire, one would think. So, Derek in Missouri, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. So you and a fellas are going on the feud. You and DP, 29 years in the making, am I right?
Indeed. And Derek, before we continue, Smitch has created a Derek in Missouri graphic for Now When You Call In.
Wow.
And there you go. This is pretty neat. If you take a look at your Roku channel screen or our YouTube stream, once we're done, you have reached that status, sir. And we greatly appreciate you constantly calling in, as much as you had.
Well, you know, Rich, I want to take a moment and say thank you and to the guys and everyone in the back, RJ and Adam and Sean making that image for me. I appreciate it. I got the email this morning. That was the first thing I looked up and what I saw. And I'm deeply... I'm humble for what you guys
do. I love it.
I deeply appreciate it.
We're a family here, brother. So what's on your mind?
So what's more likely, Rich? Which quarterback going into his first full-time season has the most pressure going for him in the 2025 year? Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy?
Ooh.
Oh, Derek, I love a good pressure question.
Because it makes diamonds, right, TJ?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I heard from your end of the world. under the most pressure. Wow. I don't know. I guess I'll choose Penix since one of them beat the other in the national championship game in a fair and square battle, according to the NCAA president, Charlie Baker.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I'm just ripping things straight from the headlines, Chris. That's a good question because both teams.
It's pretty good, but they're both pretty teams, much under equal pressure.
Both teams chose them in the same draft, and both teams are moving forward with them. Come heck or high water, I might go with Penix since as of right now, he's got Kirk Cousins sitting right behind him and the head coach might be willing to just say, we're going to pull back from you. Your day will come, just not now. We need to go with the vet to win some games here. And that won't be the case for McCarthy in Minnesota with Sam Howell behind, right?
Sure.
Or McCarthy has better weapons, all due respect to Drake London.
For sure.
There's Justin Jefferson is head and shoulders, pal.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders.
One thing before I let you go, Rich. So the thing about my graphic there, that's the only time you're going to see me on a horse.
Okay.
And the reason I say that because in real life, and my favorite team resembles a horse, and in real life, I'm allergic to horses.
Oh, well, isn't that ironic? Right? Okay, very good. So Derek in Missouri will be... Cross him off the list of filling in for Tirico. Thank you, Derek in Missouri. And we send our best to Mike, who apparently appeared on the Today Show today to say he's doing fine. He just had a bad reaction to the nut allergy for a guy who is basically a warhorse in our business, who does everything at the same level of Rolls-Royce expertness. You know, seeing him not as part on NBC out of the blue, that was quite... jarring.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. It is an overreaction Monday on a Monday. Get it?
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
On a Monday.
Hey. What's up, everybody? You guys good?
Well, yeah.
I'm good.
Great weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, great to see you.
Good to see you too, Brock.
You remember before the draft when the Cowboy came up and Jerry Jones is like, I'm working on some big things and I got some trades in the hopper. Maybe before, maybe after he called them substantive. Actually, he's not working on anything. There are no substantive trades, like he said before the draft. Nothing is happening.
So, like negotiating tariffs?
Yeah, nothing.
I don't
know. Nothing is coming. I'm sorry, DJ. Nothing is happening.
Let me just say this, okay?
He ain't lying.
No, listen. I understand how we are viewing stewardship of the Dallas Cowboys, and it does appear sometimes to be rudderless, okay?
Yeah.
It does, you know, especially since you get the answers that you're wondering, like, what is he saying? It's entirely possible to have a substantive trade in the works prior to the draft, or say there could be one after the draft, and it takes two to tango, and somebody just says no.
He and everything goes multiple. Away. There were multiple coming.
I just don't know if he should have said anything.
Yeah, what do you think?
And that does lead to the impression that your topic bar is legit. But I'll just say...
You think they're going to do a single trade?
No, I don't think anything now is going to happen. Like, nothing
there's
now. Nothing now will happen. But at the time of when he said what he was saying, there could have been a highly substantive trade that he felt really good about until the board... Until Cleveland traded out of 2 to 5, right? And suddenly, you know, maybe he wanted to move up for Mason Graham, and the Browns are just like, yeah, we're taking Mason Graham now. Like, say he had a deal with Jacksonville, all substantively ready to be wrapped up, and then Jacksonville moves up. See you later. I'm just giving you an example as to what could have happened.
I understand.
And I know you're sitting here saying there was never anything there.
There was nothing. It was all talk.
Respectfully, none of that happened.
It's all talk.
None of that happened.
I'll just push back on this just to be as fair and balanced as I possibly can.
I understand.
Okay. I don't want to be fair and balanced. And I got the most, you know.
Sir, put your kendo stick away. And for the radio audience, I'm not. That's not a metaphor.
I got a kendo stick.
Just a little bit.
Chris?
There's no possible way the Browns keep 4 quarterbacks on the week one roster.
That is correct.
Zero.
Zero.
Somebody's
that is
got
not
to
an
go.
Overreaction.
Zero.
That is correct.
So who goes then?
I don't know. Oof. I have no answer. Again, of the 4 quarterbacks we see on the screen, okay, the 2 rookies and the guy who took the victory formation in the Super Bowl and Kenny Pickett, the one guy that's going to make the roster is Joe Flacco. That is going to happen.
I'm not sure why you're so dead set on that.
Because he knows the offense, he knows the situation, and he is a guiding hand. So if you're going to end up with 2 rookies, you want him there.
Yeah, you need the
okay?
vet.
Okay? Yeah. If you're going to go with the two, you know, the vet, the long in the tooth vet.
And the pick.
And the young vet, for the lack of a better phrase, and one rookie, Flacco's going to start maybe over Pickett. If I'm Pickett, I've got my head on a swivel for the 2 rookies. He's not beating out Flacco. Flacco's gonna go, and that's that. And I don't think there's any way they have 4 on the roster. Would one of them take a taxi squad assignment? I kind of doubt it.
Then what's their other option?
Cut him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you better take it.
Cut him.
Well, no, you could go to another team, though.
What else, Chris?
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about the quarterback that we haven't talked enough about, despite him being the number one overall pick in the draft. And the more and more I like Cam Ward, I like the situation he's in. And Cam Ward's going to be the only second rookie quarterback to throw 30 touchdowns in a season.
Dude.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Justin Herbert.
Dude.
Is the other.
I hear you. I know that this winds up potentially freezing cold take, and in the NFL, you can't sit here and say nothing's possible. Of course, it's possible for him to do
but
it.
You look
I'll just
at last
call it an
year,
overreaction.
Right? You look
I'll
at last
say,
year. The guy we all fell in love with during the season, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
24.
Right.
Okay. And then the guy who actually threw the most touchdowns last year as a rookie, Bo Nix. Cam Ward would have been ahead of Bo Nix in last year's class. Why can't Cam Ward do it?
How many? 30 is just a tall number. It's a tall order.
I mean, they had 22
for
touchdown passes as a team last year.
Yeah, well.
No, I think they've improved matters. Even adding Tyler Lockett to the mix is great.
I'm just pointing out that, like,
I think Cam Ward's going to surprise a lot of people.
And I hope
that's
you're right.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I hope you're right, sir.
We spent all draft weekend talking about someone else other than him when we should have been really celebrating and praising him. And I think he's going to really ball out.
And I think that he will wear that. And I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder for that sort of thing. And if I'm Brian Callahan, I stoke it. You know, but right now they're saying there's a competition.
That's insane.
Between him and Levis?
Yeah.
Then why even use the pick to draft
That's
Cam
preposterous.
Ward? Like, what are we doing?
That's preposterous.
Come what on. Else you got?
All right, a few NBA takes here before we get going on this segment. Pacers are beating the Cavs in less than 7 games. I like what I saw Sunday out of Indiana. Everyone's been sleeping on these guys.
Have you seen all the people on the old social channels in Cleveland offering their toe up Darius Garland?
Yeah, you got to do that.
Can't imagine how you could, you know, attach that toe and it'll be fine.
Look, I've offered
to start playing against, you know, the Indiana Pacers. They're a tough team, man.
I've offered ACLs, hamstrings, finger, like everything to give to my guys that got hurt. So, yeah.
Neesmith and Nembhard.
You know? I get that.
Halliburton. Those guys, man. Obi Toppin coming off the bench. Right?
Champagne popping.
It just seemed at one point like the Cavs really had the game in hand. And then all of a sudden.
Well, Indy was up 12. And then all of a sudden they're down 4. And then you thought, oh, Cleveland's running away with this now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Does O'Shea really think Miles Turner's coming here?
Probably. He probably does.
I'm not in the game of guessing what O'Shea thinks.
I don't think this is an overreaction.
Oh.
I don't think this is an overreaction. I think certainly when you take game one on the road, now the Cavs are going to have to buckle down in a way that they really haven't had to this year. Correct?
Yeah, now Garland, maybe he's not ready for game two, but he has to play in game two now because you can't afford to go down 0-2 losing both home games.
Well, let's hope for the Cavs' sake they can do it. So I don't think that's a – I'll say this. It's more of an open question than the previous Cleveland subject matter of this segment.
True that.
Ridge, we started the show with it. We're super psyched for Warriors-Timberwolves, and I think it's going to be the best – playoff series the rest of the playoffs. Warriors Timberwolves.
That's I could see where you're saying that, because you think the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be, you got to think like a Brockman. The Celtics are just going to steamroll the rest of the way.
That's what he's thinking.
And then this one will be far more competitive than an Eastern Conference Finals and then an NBA Finals between the Celtics and Oklahoma City.
I think you tapped into his mindset. Right,
because, I mean, the Knicks aren't going to put up a fight against the Celtics. And then the Celtics are going to steamroll whoever comes out of the Cleveland-Indiana series, because that's what the Celtics do.
Ooh, those are your words.
And then the Celtics are going to take care of everyone else that comes out of the West. Doesn't matter, you know, how many wins Oklahoma City is going to have by that point in time. Did I get that right?
Did he write that for you?
Those are your words.
No, those are my words.
I like hearing you talk this out, though.
As a Brockman,
I'm reading
between the lines of your subject matter here.
I think you got legacy Warriors now with Jimmy Butler.
Sure.
You got the Ant-Man who's coming for everyone. He wants to take victory laps around everyone's arena.
Yes.
And I think you got the Rudy Gobert situation with Draymond Green. Spoiler alert, they do not like each other. And I think you got the recipe for a very combustible 7-game series.
For him to take a Northern California arena stroll and match it to a Southern California one, it's got to be 6.
Whoa, I think that's possible.
Well, that doesn't make it the most impressive series. You got to go to 7
What if every game is a one possession game?
Okay, I'll buy it. All just right. For you, since it will make you happy. You know what I mean?
So I'm watching these hockey games.
Do you have one more?
I do. Oh, I have two more.
Okay.
I'm watching these hockey games, right?
Okay.
And you see it's like a minute to go and the other team pulls a goalie and it gives them a chance to tie the game and send it to overtime. The NBA needs an equivalent of the empty net advantage.
Meaning what?
Like if it's a one or two possession game with under a minute or 30 seconds to go, they get an extra guy. They get to go 6-on-5. You get to use it one like per series or something.
Right.
And then the other team, I'm just kind of
how is it,
I'm literally spitballing.
How is it with the spacing? How does it benefit so someone will be open or?
Yeah, 6-on-5. You literally have six guys. Or you get the opportunity to tell the other team to take one off.
Yeah, take one off.
So now it's 5-on-4. But we need a situation where if it's like a 6-point game with 30 seconds, usually those games are over. Whereas in hockey, if it's a 1-goal game with 30 seconds left, they can get a man advantage and they still have a chance.
I understand that. But so, if you pull the goalie, though, that is the your. So you'd have to add a component to this where you can't defend your own net.
Oh, I got it. If the other team does score, though, that's worth double to put the game out of reach. Because like,
so
if a team gets an empty
shot, it's worth four.
Yeah, it's 3-point shots worth six. So if you get an empty net goal, that game's over.
I like that.
You know what I mean? So we need some sort of way to offset this to make the end of games a little more interesting.
And you can only use this when you're down how many possessions?
Two.
So it's got to be a 6-point lead or worse.
Correct.
And how you can only do it with less than 2 minutes to go and a half?
Yeah, maybe less than a minute, maybe, in the game.
Less than a minute. I mean, that's a tough one.
I don't know. Just something fun. I'm just saying.
Well, if you remember, about 5 weeks ago, I said NBA should adopt some hockey rules and, like, on a flagrant foul, you got to play 5-on-4.
I love that, too.
Like, do something like
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Okay. I like it. Flagrant. I like it, guys. Sit. I'll buy it. Okay. I'll buy it.
I don't know, just something fun. I've been watching these hockey games. The empty netter is so exciting. Okay. With the man advantage.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got it.
All right, last one. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. You kind of hinted with the judge stuff. What he's doing is incredible.
No, he's got. Oh. There's one more.
You got to. Chris got to ask for the one more.
That's
you know?
True. Well,
I know, but we're a little late. So I'm trying
more.
To go.
I did not know this. You have one more. I did not know this.
I love Coop.
Come on.
If Aaron Judge wins a Triple Crown this year, he's the best right-handed hitter of all time.
Ah, man. I mean, there's some great right-handed hitters in our world, but
I don't know, man. This dude's incredible.
I'm with you. Trust me.
And a 400 season Triple Crown? Like, get out of here.
Well, if it's a 400, then, I mean, you're right-handed hitter. Okay.
Right-handed hitter of all time.
Okay. Okay. No, not switch hitters.
Not switch hitters.
Not
lefty,
lefties.
Not lefty.
Righties.
Right-handed hitter of all time.
Okay. I'll buy it. Just because it's fun and hearing you talk about Aaron Judge that way makes me happy.
I'm a big fan.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. The author of How to Write a Funny Speech for a Wedding, Bar Mitzvah, Graduation, and Every Other Event You Didn't Want to Go to in the First Place. Sounds like somebody that wrote for Curb and Seinfeld, just to say the least. And Carol Leeper has. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. This is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. If you're like me, and I bet you are, there's a kid in your household, for me it's my daughter, that's always screaming, "Dad, there's a bug. Dad, is that a bug? If there is, get rid of that bug. Dad, that bug is still here. Dad." Happens all the time. Guess what? Not anymore. Thanks to Pesty. Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Same products the pros use at a quarter of the cost. The kit they make, it's so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Again, Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Take care of those kids and those bugs, and it's kid-friendly and pet-friendly. It's awesome. Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. If the bugs don't go away, they'll give you a full refund. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to Pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off.
You are the commissioner of baseball. I make you commissioner of baseball right here, right now, to start off. What do you do?
Nothing that anyone would like.
But why would you say that?
Because they're not going to like my ideas. Instant replay's over.
Why?
Who cares?
Because if you see it at home, you need to use it, right?
Why do we have a balls and strike umpire? We don't need that. We can easily do that with GPS. Why is he there?
Okay.
Why is he there? Why don't get rid of him then?
That might actually happen.
And then what do you have?
A robot,
yeah,
I guess? Or
yeah. There's a value to charm, my friend. There is a value to it that we sometimes ignore.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So, replay's gone. Ouch.
Replay's gone. I do kind of like replay, but it bothers me.
See?
A designated hitter is gone.
So, why? Well, I mean,
because that's not baseball. One of the great principles of baseball is democracy of talent and physique. This is what makes baseball very special.
Right.
Democracy of talent and physique. Everybody plays it.
Okay.
Everybody.
Right.
So there's a little shortstop, the slugging, left fielder.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's welcome.
Right.
It's democracy.
What do you think of just the intentional walk, like just you go to first now?
No, don't like that either.
Why?
It's fine. How much time are you saving?
About 10 seconds. I mean, it's 10 seconds we can all save.
It's like when someone texts you the letter K instead of OK. What are you doing with that time?
Or thanks.
You're going to add that up and so you can watch an 11-minute mm-hmm. YouTube video of a skateboarder bouncing his nuts off a railing? Is that what we're doing? Someone's texting me TY
right.
instead of thank you. TY. I'd like to bounce your nuts off a railing.
Oh, my God. All of Larry David's and Jerry Seinfeld's appearances on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, over the 10 plus years of this program. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network with our live Roku channel stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And resting on the desk is the latest book right now that we're discussing on this program from our next guest, How to Write a Funny Speech for a Wedding, Bar Mitzvah, Graduation, and Every Other Event You Didn't Want to Go to in the First Place. The longtime writer and Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe Award winner, Carol Leifer, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great to see you, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you again.
Yes, good to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because we met at, I think, the final Curb premiere.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And that was a great night.
It was a fun night. Mm-hmm. My gosh, and I feel like I live that show every day.
You know
what I mean? Like you walk through life and you just run into over-aggressive people and you just see like moments that just, you call it a curb moment, right?
That's well, I miss it, you know, because I worked on the show. I tried everything to mm-hmm. get Larry David to keep going. Wasn't going to happen. No.
It's kind of done, right?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. But the curb moments live on.
The curb moments do live on, and I keep thinking of them. and telling them to him, but there's no show outlet for it.
I thought of one the other day because I'm sitting. This happened about a year ago or so. I'm sitting at one of my kids' plays, and the one of the directors of the play asked parents to stand up to whoever parents were participating in the behind the scenes to make the play happen.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with the play. I almost thought of standing up. And that sounded like a curb moment, like Larry getting pissed off,
yes.
You know, or somebody getting pissed off that they're taking advantage of soaking in the moment. How do you call someone out for that sort of thing?
Yes, like, that those is are the a very good curb moment. He always liked stories from real life that would give you an edge in your pitch. Like, for example, something we used in the show was when I had an Audi and I would take it in for service. They always had these great little cakes, these nothing bundt cakes there. So, you know, the first time I was like, hey, I have a cup of coffee, I have a bundt cake. Mm. And then I found myself, whenever I was kind of near that service center, I'd pull in and go, you know, guys, I'm hearing a ping, there's some kind of weird kind of noise. And I'd have a little bundt cake. So, of course, we use that in Curb. Larry changed it to licorice, that he really liked the licorice at this car service thing. But whenever you said something happened to me, Larry would immediately 10 points up.
That raises it to the level of consideration to work their way. You work it into a script.
And usually for selfish purposes.
Yeah. That works out. You were also involved back in the day with Seinfeld, the Marble Rye episode.
Yes, wrote the Marble Rye.
Did something, which of the many instances of that episode potentially did happen to you in that episode?
Well, you know, when I was working on Seinfeld, everybody and their mother would come over to you and go, you know, I have a great Seinfeld idea. And be like, oh, here we go.
That's right.
And it'd always be like, you know, Betty from work keeps her egg salad in the, you know, it was horrible ideas.
Yes.
But a friend of mine came over and she said, you know, something happened that I thought was really funny. We were having a dinner party and this couple brought a bread and I forgot to put it out. And I noticed at the end of the night, they took the bread back. So that's another thing I said to Jerry and Larry, like, you know, this is a real life story. And they loved it. So we made it into the Marble Rye. I was a big fan of Costco way back then. So in that story, Kramer buys giant sizes of things like beefaroni. We couldn't use the word beefaroni. They wouldn't let us, so it became beefarino. Yeah. And he feeds it to his handsome cab horse,
Rusty,
who then has terrible flatulence. Yes, thanks for remembering.
So your frequency of purchasing large things in Costco,
yes,
and then hearing secondhand a story of somebody forgetting to put out bread and it got taken back by the end of the night,
yes,
becomes an iconic episode of Seinfeld.
Yes. So all those kind of things. I'm going to tell you, Rich,
yes,
just mentioning Costco and the fact that I had Kramer say he loved Lindsay olives, that they were the top shelf olives. I got sent so many olives for so many years. I cannot begin to tell you how fantastic it was. Even one of the episodes that I wrote, Elaine thinks the Korean manicurists are talking about her behind her back in Korean. Because that happened to me when I went to my nail shop. We used the real name of the nail shop that I used to go to in New York, Ruby Nails. And they use it as the exterior. I would walk in and get free manicures for I don't know how long. So this is basically turning into how many stories of free things that I've gotten over the years.
Hey, my audio executive never wears anything he purchases in his entire life. He's like, he's a walking swag bag, this guy over there.
Kindred spirits.
I love it.
Absolutely.
So did that confirm that the manicurists weren't talking about you behind their back? Because if they started giving you free stuff for being mentioned because you were concerned about being talked about behind your back.
They were just so happy that the name of the shop was in the episode. Ah. It didn't matter if they were talking about me behind their back, which they probably were. It was a lot of laughing
right.
when I was in there. I don't think it was about my nails.
So I guess it was not a spite nail shop either. Were you involved in that episode?
Yes,
Curb?
Yes, of
oh
course.
Oh, my gosh.
The spite store.
That is so damn funny. I've got Carol Leifer here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll get to your book in a second. Of the years that you did stand up as well, I think you made 25 appearances on Dave's show, to say the least. The Tonight Show as well, and your own specials. Anybody you opened up for in your career that is stands out for
well,
you, Carol
Leifer? Well, hold on to your hat.
Okay.
I opened for Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Oh. Is that crazy?
Francis Albert Sinatra.
Yes.
In Las Vegas, was it?
In Las Vegas,
oh my
at
gosh.
Bally's.
Ugh.
And, well, it's a funny story how I got it. I was working with an agent mm-hmm. who promised me the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to 6 months later, I'm doing stand-up at Ground Round Restaurants on the Jersey Turnpike.
Oh, yes.
Right? You could not hear my jokes because the sound of the peanut shells. Thrown out on the floor. Yeah. I kept saying to him, where's the big gigs? He kept saying, I'm working on Frank. I'm working on Frank. And I was like, who, Frank Stallone? I mean, come on, what's happening here? And then sure enough, I was working on a cruise ship. And you know it, back in the day, if you got a phone call on a cruise ship, something major.
Something's up.
Yeah.
It's usually not good either.
Exactly.
Ship to shore. Right.
And he got me the Frank Sinatra gig. And I got to tell you, to this day, it's the greatest moment of my career. What a gentleman. He would bring me back out before he would perform
uh-huh.
and introduce me. He did say some cryptic things, though. Like when he would,
okay.
you know, bring me back out, he once said, that was Carol Leifer. I wish my mother had been that funny. I wouldn't have had to work so hard. The summer wind came rushing in. Yeah, I
okay.
Yeah, and then another time he said that was Carol Leifer. She's big. She'll knock you over for the phone. What? I don't get that.
But I'm sure everybody was laughing.
They were laughing.
Because it was Frank being
yes,
funny.
Yes, exactly.
She'll knock you over for the phone. How do all these people get in my room? Oh my gosh. At Bally's. Oh man. Post Sands, I guess. That was the Sinatra at the Sands is the greatest of
yes.
all time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty great.
Pretty great indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. So what gave you the idea of writing how to write a funny speech for a wedding, bar mitzvah, graduation, and every other event you didn't want to go to in the first place?
Yes. I wrote this with my writing partner, Rick Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
As a public service, Rich, couldn't take it anymore.
What's the it?
People getting up at events mm-hmm. and giving these god-awful speeches that are not only so embarrassing to the person and somebody's videoing them and it goes up on the web, but so bad that it puts a damper
mm-hmm.
on the entire event. So Rick and I, he's a great comedy writer, he's won 5 Emmys, and we thought, it's not that hard. We can tell people in a short and sweet way mm-hmm. how to not only give a good speech, but incorporate some humor in there and give them some basics. Number one, 5 minutes and under. Okay?
Nice.
Because you know these people that go on and on. You're waiting for the speeches to end so you can usually eat,
mm-hmm.
right? You're getting hangry, and they're going on, and it's killing you.
That's not good.
No.
5 and under, that's number one.
Yes. I mean, when your phone is updated twice.
During somebody's face.
Yes. Something is very, very wrong.
Yes. Okay.
Another thing.
Yes.
People don't. They say their name, but they don't say who they are to the celebrant.
Mm-hmm.
They get up and they just start talking and you're trying to figure out, did he go to school with this guy?
Yes.
Is this a relative? I don't know. Is this his plumber? I mean, you just don't understand. So it becomes like an episode of Matlock instead of enjoying this person's speech. So say who you are to the person.
You don't need to hire a private detective to find this. Just come out. And give up the information.
Yes,
all right,
exactly.
That's number two. And, and in less than 5 minutes, I'm just trying to weave it all together
right,
here.
Right.
All right.
And the drinking.
Mm-mm.
One drink. That should be good. Loosen up a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. But then people get up there and they're blotto. Mm. And it's really embarrassing for the person and for the couple if it's a wedding. So take it easy with the hooch. Take it easy.
And you got a foreword by Carol Burnett.
Yes. How great is that?
Now, you've written for her, correct?
I have.
When,
yeah.
When was that?
I wrote for her 50th anniversary special mm-hmm. of the show mm-hmm. and then for her 90th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she is the loveliest, sweetest person ever. I asked, you know, to ask her to write the foreword.
Mm-hmm.
That might have, you know, you feel like it might be a bridge too far. I asked her to write the foreword mm-hmm. on a Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
She reads it over the weekend. Sunday, she says, I loved it. I already wrote the foreword.
Boom.
Yeah.
Because normally you have to chase these people down.
Yes, you do.
No one wants to chase down Carol Burnett and say, hey, Carol, have you done it yet? Like, you don't want to do that.
No.
Right.
Come on, Carol, let's go. Clock is ticking.
Yeah, what else you got going on? So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that was really great. Thrilling.
Awesome. And I'm getting some cool points with my oldest son for having you here because one of his favorite show right now, he's binging Hacks. Right
oh,
now.
That's great.
You know, congratulations on that as
Thank
well.
Thank you. And my finally gosh. Won an Emmy from Hacks.
How about that?
I know,
right?
It's thrilling.
And I guess as well, one of the leads in Hacks is Lorraine Newman's daughter.
Yes.
Okay, but you wrote for SNL years after Lorraine Newman was
yeah,
gone,
I
right?
I wasn't there when Lorraine
was there.
You
were there in the mid-80s?
Yeah.
So who was the cast members when you were writing for SNL at the time?
It's sort of disaffectionately known as the weird year.
Okay.
Because it was the year that Lorne Michaels came back to the show, and the cast was like Randy Quaid, mm-hmm. Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr. Was kind of a strange mix of people.
Pre-Dana Carvey. Okay.
Yeah. But I still got a lot of sketches on. It was great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of a comedy boot camp because they really work you hard there.
I bet.
And you always have to produce. So I'm glad that was my first writing job because kind of every show after that has seemed sort of way easier.
Right. For sure. How to write a funny speech for a wedding, bar mitzvah, graduation, and every other event you didn't want to go to in the first place.
Pick it up
right now where all books are sold. Congratulations on this.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on and sharing all of the memory lane stuff.
Oh, my
here.
God. What a pleasure. Let's go to Audi, have a bundt cake and a cup of coffee.
That is so damn funny. Gosh, because there are times when you'll just lie to get something that you want. It's not a lie if you believe it. You know?
Exactly.
I use that phrase from back in the day.
That's right.
Carol Leifer, at Carol Leifer on Instagram. Thank you for being here. And everybody go buy the book
yeah.
right now. And don't drink. Be quick about it and say who the hell you are. Did I summarize that all
it.
Up?
There you got
come.
It all.
See, I just checked every box. Here's Rich Ackerman with a sports update. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want. And allows for working out or recovery, it's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. We had Jerry on the show just a couple weeks ago, Larry, and I asked him, how come Steinbrenner himself never appeared on Seinfeld? And he said Steinbrenner shot a scene, but it was so bad you cut it. Is that a true story?
True story, yeah.
What was so bad about it?
We brought him out, I think, for the last show of the 95 season. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure when it was, but... He flew out on his private jet to do the show mm-hmm. and flew back that day. And okay, he did it. And then I go into editing and I'm watching the show. And oh my God, he was so awful. He was so bad. It was, you couldn't use it. It was much better from behind with my voice, you know, than actually seeing the real guy doing it.
Right. So that was a scene where he was with Costanza?
He was with Elaine in a restaurant, I think.
Okay.
And I had to call him up and tell him he was cut.
How did that go?
I called Yankee Stadium. I said, I want to talk to Mr. Steinbrenner. It's Larry David. He got on the phone. I said, Mrs. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David calling from the Seinfeld show. Yes, yes, Larry, what is it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, come on, you can tell me. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
But you slip back in that voice.
Yeah, like right. I slip right back in, right. And I said, I've been cut from the show. And I said, it's not your fault, but it's just the scene wasn't working, and that was it.
How do you take it?
He was a big boy. He took it well.
So he told you how he was going to take it,
and he actually took it, yeah.
George Steinbrenner and Elaine. I would never have guessed. I would have thought that there would have to have been a Costanza George moment.
I know there was an Elaine scene. I don't know. There may have been a George scene. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
How did you enjoy playing Steinbrenner? Did you have a blast doing that?
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
What's your favorite one where you were Steinbrenner? What was it?
I think probably something. I remember the calzones.
The calzones.
Yeah.
George had to get the calzones.
Yeah, the calzones. Yeah.
That's as great as it gets, man.
Yeah, and Carol Leifer was on the credits of the Calzone episode as well.
Hey, the Calzone from Paisanos.
Oh, my gosh. I did see, it did appear on one of my timelines recently, the scene with George and Elaine. And it was bad. I did see it. There is somebody popped it out there. Have you seen it?
With Steinbrenner?
The actual George
no
M.
Way.
Steinbrenner III and Elaine. And it was not funny.
Like cutting room floor? So like
the one that he said.
I know, but how did it get?
I don't know. It showed up. I should have bookmarked it or send it to the group.
Shared that.
I think it exists. It's out there. I saw it.
He was terrible, huh?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm a big boy. I can take it.
I'm a big boy.
You know? Big boy. Speaking of needing to take it, did the Mets get swept by the Cardinals in a doubleheader yesterday?
They did. They did.
Yankees have lost two series in a row, and the Red Sox just lost Cassis, right, for the year?
Yeah, torn patella tendon. Oh, very awful play when he was running to first base and trying to leg one out, and really bad news.
Yankees having trouble scoring and getting pitching other than from Max Fried, and in come the San Diego Padres tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Fun is one way to put it. I was going to say, your sister regifted your mom a blender for Mother's Day last year. Your brother sent her massive air quotes here. Fresh cut roses that looked not so fresh. You must return to being the best gift giver and favorite kid in your family. And those titles are in the bag this year because you're going to give your mom, I'm going to tell you, an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you can load or change your photos right from your phone. The tech is awesome. It's easy to use and so thrilling for your mom to open this best gift ever out of the box, pop it on the mantle, and start seeing the memories right in front of her. Awesome. So simple to set up. Just plug it in, share away. Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day in store. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. They get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver Matte Frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code of Rich. Support the station by mentioning us at checkout to boot. Terms and conditions apply. Andrew in Denver, Colorado wants to chime in here. What's up, Andrew?
Not too much, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to chat in real quick on a NBA proposal rule that I had.
Okay.
So at the end of the games, a lot of times when a team is down 3 points, you'll tend to see the defense then foul to send that team to the line for two shots.
Correct.
Really kind of eliminating them from being able to, you know, tie it back up.
Okay.
So my thought was if a team does that, to then have that the offensive team shooting – essentially have a flip-flop on the rebounding position.
So you're up by 3 points. Utilize your basketball God-given right to foul somebody and send them to the free throw line, and you should be penalized by having worse rebounding position despite being up by three, which is their fault? By being up? You see what I'm saying, Andrew? It sounds punitive to the team that's actually winning. And you're now tilting the playing field to the team that's losing. Right?
Correct. But I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like it's kind of a cheap way to just ensure your victory at the end of the game. So, you know, rather than allowing the foul just to create two shots, which kind of eliminates that team from coming back, that's a way of either forcing them to not do it, you know, just play defense, or if they do kind of flip-flop that defensive position there on the free throw.
Listen, Andrew, are you a Nuggets fan, Andrew?
I'm actually not. Unfortunately, this year, a Miami Heat fan.
Okay.
But everybody. Watching the Nuggets as they play.
All right. Thanks for the call, Andrew. Appreciate it. That's Andrew in Denver. You know, I'm always up for tinkering with the rule book, but I'm not into that one. I like your idea of allowing somebody who's down by two or more possessions, which is six or more points,
right,
after a certain amount of time, is allowed to add one player to their team or force the other team to take somebody off the court. But if the other team scores, it's worth double the points to them.
That's very confusing.
No, it's not.
It's like the empty net goal.
I'm down six.
Yeah.
There's less than 90 seconds to go. Let's do that.
Sure.
I can say I'm bringing a sixth man off the bench and it's now 6-on-5. But if the other team scores against me, it's worth double for them. So you have an opportunity to score rather than the other team. But if the other team scores,
game over.
It's game over.
See ya.
I would like it better instead of a sixth man, because now the spacing may not work.
Maybe.
You have to tell the other team you're taking someone off the court. It's up to them, though, who they take off. Because if I'm the Lakers, like, say, in the last game, Rudy Gobert, you're off the court.
Right.
Because we can't get a shot off,
right,
and you keep jamming it right in our faces.
But if they come down and score, boom, that's a four-point play or maybe a six-point shot. Game's over.
You don't like that, TJ?
I don't know. I think I've just...
It's kind of rock and jockey, but it's, you know, just a little something, maybe. Look, the NHL has an empty net situation where they can take the goalie off the ice, obviously, but, you know, you're giving up that goal and then, you know, a goal there, but it makes it 4-2, game's over.
Like I said, I feel I was just so, like, deep into my own thing where I was like a flagrant foul or something means you lose a guy.
No, a flagrant foul means you have to now play 5-on-4 for a minute.
Yeah, like, take the guy off.
Like, there's a power play for the other team.
Right.
Because the foul is so flagrant that you must put, say, let's just use Draymond Green, for example.
Oh.
he's got to sit in the do we create an actual penalty box?
No, I think they just
where that person must sit. How about they must sit in a corner? You put them in a corner.
Put them at the end of the bench.
No. Not on their own bench. They must sit in the corner, separate from their team, in a corner on a folding chair.
Okay.
That is brought out by somebody in like a GIMP mask, right?
So you had
like, Bring out the GIMP.
Bring out the
sit them in a folding chair in a corner by themselves. Somebody rings the shame bell.
Like the flagrant 5-on-4 idea too.
For a minute.
I like both.
Why not?
I like both.
Switch it up some. Because there's a lot of math, and you know, but this is easy. You commit a dumb flagrant, you just go sit.
Now we got to get Adam Silver on the show.
You can make that happen.
Ask him his 2 cents.
I bet you Susie knows him.
Can confirm.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.